Whenever this gospel reading is read, and on the fourth Sunday of Lent, I've always taken the three readings into account, because all of Scripture speaks to us. Since the gospel is about the healing of the blind man, I have often contrasted light and darkness. Did you hear today's second reading? It talks about being children of the light. That's a play on this blind man who was in darkness, but then Jesus gives him light. Today, however, I'm choosing to focus almost entirely on John's story of the blind man. And first, I want to make three observations, and then I want to draw three practical implications from these observations. So here's the first point in terms of the commentary on this reading, my first observation. Even though the story seems to be about the blind man, it's really not about the blind man. See, the way John writes his entire gospel, the events are only seemingly about the people they talk about. For example, last week, the Samaritan woman. Today, the blind man. Next Sunday, Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Or there are other stories like the story of Zacchaeus or Nicodemus. Even if the stories are about these people, really these stories are about Jesus. They're not telling us stories about the blind man or Samaritan because it's they did something heroic. No, John is trying to say something completely different. In reality, John is trying to say that every person must stand in the presence of Jesus. Jesus is the hero. So even though while Jesus is being judged before Pilate, it's actually Jesus who's judging Pilate and not the other way around. John does not present Jesus as a man to be pitied or without dignity. In today's story too, even though Jesus seems to be questioned by the Pharisees and victimized by the Pharisees regarding the healing of the blind man, Jesus is portrayed by John as the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And John has the blind man confess that he believes that he is the Son of God. So that's the point of the story, that Jesus emerges as the Son of God. It's not so much the healing of the blind man. Secondly, in every story that John says, salvation is proposed as the stand people take in relation to Jesus. Do you hear me? So Jesus is standing here, and all the characters, the blind man, the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus, Pilate, everybody, their salvation depends on the stand they take in relation to Jesus. In today's story, there is the blind man, the Pharisees, the neighbors, and the parents of the blind man. They're all included in the story. As the events of the story unfold, different people will take different stands. The Pharisees, they're clearly opposed to Jesus. That's the stand they take. The neighbors are indifferent. The parents are afraid. And the blind man is in various stages of faith. First he says Jesus is a prophet. Only then does he come to recognize Jesus as God. Only the blind man, and only toward the end of the story does he come to the realization that Jesus is the Messiah. So in the whole story today, he's the only man who's saved. He sees. Whereas the blind, who is the blind? The Pharisees, who refuse to take a stand of acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus says to them at the end of today's gospel, you are still in sin because you do not see. Third, John uses the literary tool of irony very effectively throughout the entire gospel. You know what is ironic? When we often say something is very ironic. And here's the irony. The one who was blind finally received his sight. That is not the real story. The real story is not about the physical vision. The blind man sees not because of his physical vision, but because of his confession of faith in Jesus Christ. That is when he sees. That is the real sight. The physical vision is only a literary tool that is employed to talk about the real faith this man came to. Those who have physical vision, on the other hand, particularly the Pharisees, they are the real blind people because they refuse to see. They see, but they really don't see. The person who really sees is the one who confesses Christ as the Savior of the world. So based on these three observations, I want to offer some very brief practical implications for us as we get closer to Easter. So from the first observation I've made, which is that the story is about Jesus and not about the blind man, here are some of the questions that I'm going to raise. Folks, it often seems that there are two stories in our lives. Story of Jesus and our personal story. So there is Jesus and then there is Satish, right? Two separate stories. Isn't it often the case that we think of our lives and then God as somewhere being out there? For many people, God is up there. For many people, God is in church. For many people, God is in the sacrament. God is somewhere out there. But John is making a very radically different point. There is only one story. And that's the story of Jesus. The life of every Christian is the story of Jesus lived out through that person. So there is no story, there is no Satish's story. Satish must live the Jesus story from Satish's perspective. Only Jesus' story is important. The life of every Christian is the story of Jesus lived out through that person. Some people live out that story well, others not so well. So here's the first practical implication from today's homily. If the story of Jesus is the real story, how are you and I living that story? Is Jesus the central character of your story? Or is it you? Salvation is when Jesus' story and our story becomes one. That's when we see. Till then, according to John, we are blind. Here's my second practical implication. I said that in today's gospel passage, people took different stands in relation to Jesus. In fact, John is suggesting that when it comes to Jesus, this is hard for us to understand in today's culture. People are compelled to take a stand. We don't like the word compelled because compulsion means that it is a violation of our freedom. We do not appreciate the notion of being compelled to take a stand. However, we understand that our freedom has limitations. For example, we have no choice but to pay taxes. We are compelled, whether we like it or not. We are compelled to respect other people's property. We cannot violate their rights. When it comes to Jesus, similarly, the whole world must take a stand in relation to Jesus. You are compelled to take a stand. The stand can be opposition to Jesus, indifference to Jesus, lukewarmness to Jesus, or like the blind man, you can go on your knees and worship Jesus. Every person on the face of the earth must take a stand in relation to Jesus. So, we ask ourselves, what is my stance in relation to Jesus? Are we the Pharisees? The parents of the blind man? The neighbors? Or the blind man in various stages of faith? Who are we in the story? Remember, salvation is dependent on the stand we take in relation to Jesus. Thirdly, the use of irony. What is my practical implication from that? See, irony is truly fascinating for me. I love irony in literature. But it's also very intimidating. I said earlier that even though it seemed that Pilate was judging Jesus, it was Jesus who was judging Pilate. As a pastor, or as parents, as teachers, as professionals, don't we always give advice to people, especially as a pastor? I talk to numerous people and I have plenty of advice to give to them. But here's the irony. When I give advice to people, or you as parents give advice to your children, do you realize that every advice we offer is also a judgment about our own selves? If I ask somebody to love their neighbor, I guess I am putting myself in judgment before God, hopeful that I am actually also doing what I'm advising other people. As I said, irony is very fascinating, but it's also very intimidating. The best life is where there is no dichotomy between what I tell people and what I actually live. There's no irony there. There's just integrity. There is just peace. Today's second reading tells us, let us be children of the light. Today, let us allow Jesus to open our eyes. Let us be people who have physical vision, but like the blind man, may we come with absolute faith in Jesus, take a stance in relation to Jesus, and then live out the story of Jesus in our lives, honestly, sincerely, and may that bring us salvation. The people of God said,